I've always struggled with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money, and it does all that for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Stop wasting money on the things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Washington Post. That's rocketmoney.com/Washington Post.
Good morning. I'm James Holman from The Washington Post, and this is the Daily 202 for Friday, October 23rd. Here are election 2020 updates from today's show. In their second and final debate, President Trump tried to cast Joe Biden as a scandal-plagued politician who failed to get things done over decades in office. And Biden sought to portray Trump as a demagogue who criminally abused immigrants and mishandled the coronavirus pandemic. With the two candidates electronically muted for portions of the night, the constant interruptions from the first debate were replaced by a clearer contrast between their competing views for the country. When Trump tried to accuse Biden of making money from China, the former vice president pointed out that the president has a bank account in that country and has failed to disclose his income tax returns despite 5 years of promises to do so. When Trump argued that stock markets would crash if Biden were elected, Biden responded with his signature line contrasting the gains of Wall Street versus the cratering economy of Main Street. And when Trump sought to paint Biden as a puppet of socialist forces, his opponent pushed back with a forcefulness that has been absent for much of his campaign. Biden said Trump is very confused and must think he's running against Bernie Sanders. One of the most heated moments of the night focused on Trump's policy of separating migrant children from their families at the border. Advocates have been unable to locate the parents of 545 children who were separated. Trump responded when asked about this by asserting that the separated children are, quote, so well taken care of. Then he pressed moderator Kristen Welker of NBC to ask Biden who built the cages. He implied it was Obama. Biden, appearing the angriest he had been the entire debate, shook his head and said the family separations made the United States the laughingstock of the world. When the night was done, Tolu Olorunpia, Amy Wang, and Josh Dossi say there was little sense that the incumbent, who's trailing significantly in the polls while overseeing a deadly pandemic and a crushed economy, did much to change his fortunes for the better. While the night featured a number of sharp attack lines, it was definitely less combative and acrimonious than what we saw in Cleveland. From the earliest moments, the contrast was clear. Biden walked in wearing a mask, while Trump walked in without one. Trump has recently mocked Biden for wearing a mask and equivocated on their usefulness even after he got COVID. For his part, Biden ran afoul of the facts at times as he made his case against Trump. At one point, Biden claimed that no one lost their health insurance during the Obama administration, which is not true. He also appeared to apologize for the immigration record of the Obama administration, which included large numbers of deportations and no comprehensive legislation to help undocumented immigrants. Biden said, quote, "We made a mistake. It took too long to get it right." Biden's biggest gaffe of the night, though, came when he said his goal is to get rid of the oil industry, which may reverberate in swing states. The Democrat spoke to reporters traveling with him to Nashville after the debate. He said what he meant to say was not that he's going to get rid of fossil fuels, especially right away, but that we're going to get rid of subsidies for fossil fuels. Thanks for listening. I'm James Holman. If you want to hear full episodes, find The Daily 202 every weekday morning wherever you get your podcasts.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.